this to be used for the next church of believers. If you have a cell phone, please make sure they're on silent mode or turned off. So I'm pausing on our study in the book of James. Everybody say, aww. I know. We'll pick it back up in January. Because Christmas is here, December 3. Can you believe it? December 3. Time flies when you're having fun. Amen? So GOAT, greatest of all time. This has been coined for sports mostly. But I want to say this is the greatest of all time Christmas gift is the Lord Jesus. Amen? Now, maybe you can agree with me that this has been quite a difficult year for the world, in our country. And maybe for some, particularly my family, we had health challenges. I was faced in losing my sister in October or September, end of September. And then my dad, too, who's still facing health difficulties. Now, this is why I want nothing more than for this year to end it in a high note. For as dark and difficult as things have been, there is a light at the end of this tunnel. During Christmas, we celebrate the hope we have in Christ as we remember his humble beginnings and miraculous journey in the world. Because the Bible told us in Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Now let's begin an extraordinary journey of hope, peace, joy, and love together this afternoon. Let us again learn about the greatest of all time, Christmas, through the account of our Lord's birth. But we're going to be using a variety of books. I was going to ask my wife to hand me that gift, but it's okay. I'll just do it. She was summoned. Now, I have a question. Here's a gift, right? Beautifully wrapped by my wife. Now, what is that one desire you hope to be wrapped up in a box? You know, for some of you, the shoe aficionados here, oh, the Jordan, Breads, whatever, right? Air Jordan 1, maybe. Others will be more money for my bills. Others will be more serious. My son, whom I haven't been spending time with. My spouse that I've lost a couple years ago. Although you can't put them in a box. But we all have something that we hope for. That if we could just wrap them and have them, we're hoping that it will be that particular person or particular thing that we've been wanting. You know, I shared it before and I'll share it again. When my siblings and I had our first Christmas here in California in 1993. There was a box there under the tree. It said, Salcedo Kids. And me and my brother, for some odd reason, we were like, oh my goodness, it's Sega. It's the Sega, the popular console, game console at that time. Because we were like shaking it. It was heavy. It had the right weight. We're like, dude, this is the Sega. And if not, it's a Nintendo. You know, it's just the game console. I was 16, you know. And so when the time came to open it, guess what it was? It wasn't a Sega. It was a Webster's Dictionary. My aunts and my uncles, they figured, like, these guys don't know how to communicate in this language, so let's give them a thesaurus and a dictionary. What a disappointment. And then Jamie wrote, it says there, dumb, my name is there. I know it was Jamie who put it there. You know, Advent, which we're in right now, Advent is a season of hope. It is. And Advent is actually a season of hope. The word Advent means coming or arrival. And the season is marked by expectation, waiting, anticipation, and longing. Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It is a season that links the past, present, and future. Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate His birth, and to be alert for His second coming. Advent looks back in celebration at the hope fulfilled in Jesus Christ's coming, while at the same time looking forward in hopeful and eager anticipation for the coming of Christ's kingdom when He returns for His people. During Advent, we wait for both His past coming and His future coming. It is an active, assured, guaranteed, hopeful waiting. In a season often marked by frenzied busyness, Christmas list here, right? Exchange gift there, white elephant here, Christmas parties here, left and right. Advent is an opportunity to set aside time to prepare our hearts and help us place our focus on a far greater story than our own, the story of God's redeeming love for our world. It's not a season of pretending or covering over. It is a season of digging deep into the reality of what it means that God sent His Son into the world to be Emmanuel, God with us. It is a season of expectation and preparation, an opportunity to align ourselves with God's presence more than just the hectic season of presence. So wherever you are on your own spiritual journey, I invite you into this season. It's a time that allows for questions and struggle as we take time to prepare our hearts for Christ's coming. Advent is not a celebration that God comes to fix things, from broken computers to broken families to broken and hurting lives. Rather, simply, Advent is a celebration that God comes. Amen? God comes to be with us. He is God with us. In the darkness, in the pain, in the chaos, He comes and He makes a way. So for this first Sunday, I entitled our message, Christmas Brings Hope. Amen? There's been a lot of trouble this year. A lot of trouble with the war in Israel currently. You know, there was an earthquake in Mindanao too. The bombing that you just mentioned there, Mike. The economy, gas being $7 per gallon. You know, it's been a hard year, to say the least. But today, we start renewing our minds with the help of God, encouraging our hearts that this Christmas time, we can hope. We can have hope. Why? Because the first point is our hope is Christ. Our hope is Christ. You know, it's quite the challenge every Christmas time to come up with a message, because I feel like, how many times can you actually really give the Christmas story? But I'm counting on this, because I went on a deer hunting trip. One of our members invited me on a deer hunting trip. It was pretty good, you know. It was new for me. I've shot a gun before, but never really shot at a deer. So I was with this member of ours, and we shot the deer at the same time. So I was saying, I got it. He was saying, he got it. So we were so loud that there was a ranger driving by, and he just kind of just stopped by, and he said, "What's the argument about, guys?" And we told him, you know, we don't know who got the deer. So the ranger goes, "Oh, you know, I've done this many times. Let me figure it out for you guys." He went there, comes back, and he goes, "Any one of you happen to be a preacher here?" And I go, "Me?" And he goes, "You did it. You shot the deer." I go, "Oh, I knew it. How'd you know? How were you able to tell?" He goes, "Because the bullet went from one ear and out the other." So I'm counting on that. I'm counting on everybody's short-term memory loss. That this Christmas message will be new to you once again, even though I gave it many years ago. Just last year. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your people. We thank you for this building. We thank you for Christmas, our God, as we anticipated with all excitement and eagerness. We thank you for our family, our loved ones who has been our greatest blessing. We thank you for our health. We thank you that we are able to worship you and praise you. We thank you for this building. We thank you most especially for our salvation. Father, we ask now, Lord God, that you speak to us. We ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord God. As they hear my voice, Father God, I pray that they will hear you by your Holy Spirit that resides in them. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Forgive me, Lord, for my sins. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So have you ever heard of someone that got lost at sea? You know, in the summer of 2017, two longtime commercial fishermen named John Aldridge and Anthony Sosinski set out to fish from Montauk, Long Island. As they headed out to sea about 40 miles offshore, Anthony was sleeping below the deck while John started to get things ready for the catch they would soon begin to haul in. He was pulling on a handle with all his might when it snapped, sending him sprawling backward and right off the back of the boat. The boat was on autopilot, so it just kept cruising. As soon as he resurfaced from under the water, John began screaming for help, even though he knew there was no way Anthony would ever hear him. And Anthony did not hear him. John watched the boat go up and over the crest of a wave, and then it was gone. He couldn't see it anymore. He was alone, treading water in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, without a life vest, thinking this was the way he was going to die. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine what that must have felt like? Have you ever been lost? And then much more at sea. If there's ever been a hopeless situation, that has got to be it. No. Or is it? While John was trying to calm down, quiet his thoughts of certain death, and stay afloat, he realized that his boots were very buoyant. He got an idea. He took one off, emptied it out, and plunged it back into the water so that it created an air pocket. And it did. It floated. So John stuck his boots under his arms as a flotation device. At least he could stay afloat. A flicker of hope. If you were him right now, would you be concerned with your shopping list or your bills? Or your retirement plan, or your oil change that needs to happen? John thought of his family. If you're in that situation, right? The important things are the ones that occur. thought about his family, and the fact that no one anywhere even knew that he was missing, except maybe the two sharks that swam about 15 feet away. But fortunately, they didn't seem to care. They were vegans. He tried to set goals. John tried to set goals in his dire situation. And his goal is as simple as this, but it's as important as this, to make it into the morning. Now we will go back. We will come back to John later. As he used his boots to float, it produced hope for him. God reminds us that Christmas brings us, and the whole world for that matter, even though they don't believe God, Christmas represents hope. Amen? Because Jesus Christ is our hope. Our hope is in Christ. Jesus' arrival on earth was a great source of hope to all people. Can you catch that at your work? The people that don't believe in God, they'll say happy holidays, but they will still celebrate it, which is majority speaking, it's really the Christmas season. When I moved here, Christmas break is what they call it, but now they call it winter break. For centuries, God's people stumbled in darkness, beginning in Genesis, that time that Adam decided to eat of the apple, the rescue mission of Jesus started. Christmas is the beginning of God's rescue mission for you and for me. Mankind has been tormented and defeated by the evil one and all the evil that is around them. Many of us know what it feels to be surrounded by darkness as we struggle through disappointment, mistakes, failure, and sin. It is hard to have hope when all you can see is darkness. We also know that the best way to eliminate darkness is to expose it to light. When Jesus became human and came to us as a baby, the ancient prophecies were fulfilled. The world found hope in the birth of its Savior. Amen? Did you know that the enemy doesn't care that you're going through a lot? You're already down and muddied and scarred and bruised and bleeding. But do you think the enemy says, you know what, let's leave him alone for now. He's been through a lot. Oh, no. All the more, he's going to keep pounding, kicking you like a motorcycle. And God said, enough. God said, enough. That's that first Christmas time, that first day, the very first time was God saying, it's enough. Isaiah reads, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Isaiah was a prophet of God. Some would say that he was the greatest prophet, and all would agree he was prophesying to broken people, filled with despair during one of the darkest times in Israel's history. What Isaiah offered through the inspiration of the Spirit was hope. Specifically, that there would be light in place of darkness, and that the light would shine on those living in deep darkness. You see, there is no such thing as darkness. Darkness only happens in the absence of light. When Isaiah offered through the inspiration of the Spirit, giving hope, he was prophesying about the coming of Christ into the world. Nothing more, nothing less. We also know that Christ has already come once, and we patiently wait as we look for a second and final arrival. Are you excited for that? As excited as you are with your football team winning the Super Bowl? Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I saw you guys wearing your football jersey, so I used it. Now, as we journey together through the season of Advent on our way to Christmas, we must first acknowledge and recognize the hope we share in our Christ, our Savior. He is the light of hope, piercing through the deepest of darkness. Christ will return for His church. Amen? And in the meantime, we trust that He will do exactly what He said He would. Our shared hope is in Christ alone. G.K. Chesterton said, "Hope means hoping when things are hopeless, or it is no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is mere flattery or platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be strength." If you know that someone will help you, that's hope. But until you know that there is nothing that you can do about your situation, you don't know what hope really is. It brings us to our second point. The second point is hope sees light in the midst of darkness. Thank you, Will, for giving me a break, by the way. Having a break gives me 5 points this Sunday. Gives me a lot of time to study. Romans 15, 12 to 13. And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope." That's Isaiah 11, 10. And then Paul continues, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. And there is no way that you can say that you are hopeless, because the Holy Spirit in you is powerful. The Holy Spirit in you is the one that will provide that hope that you need for that dire moment that you are struggling with. Isaiah is being quoted in Romans 15 as the Apostle Paul is pointing to the root of Jesse, which is Jesus, the source of our hope. This is an allusion to Jesus. After quoting Isaiah, Paul gives us a mini benediction and exhortation. He prays that we would be filled with joy and peace that would overflow with hope. Overflow with hope. Now think about it for a moment. You've heard it before, right? They say you can't give what you don't have. Now if you have Jesus, you can give hope. Everybody that belongs to Christ has hope. Our joy and peace increase as we trust in Christ, which leads to an overflow of hope through the power of the Spirit. Amen? Now, the more you walk with the Lord, the more you walk with the Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit will manifest in your life. And one of them is hope. If you are wondering, I don't know, I'm not producing these fruits, because you're probably not walking with the Spirit and you're walking in your sinful ways again. Now that's your responsibility. That is our responsibility, because Christian relationship is open for your choice. There is an optional box for you. For me, how I wish I didn't have that optional box, because from time and time again, I would choose the wrong answer. Would you like to obey God in this one? Yes or no? No. It is our responsibility to walk hand in hand with the Holy Spirit so that we will produce the hope and the peace, because it is an overflow. Hope doesn't increase because of favorable circumstances in your life, nor does it decrease because of unfavorable ones. Hope resides in the person of Christ. So even in the midst of deep darkness, pain, and loss, we can be overflowing with hope. It was quite dark looking at my sister while she was lying down in the hospital bed for more days than I would like to remember. It was quite dark. Watching Dustin suffer, watching my mom suffer, and think about Emma, who was oblivious about the whole thing, that her mom is actually laying down in a hospital bed while she was just playing with us and riding her bicycle, laughing. It was such a dark time. But the hope that the Holy Spirit gives for every believer that will trust in Him is quite supernatural. My hope was, even if my sister passes, I know I will see her again. That even if she passes, God knows best, and I can trust His decision. Though it was dark, and the difficulty is to maintain the trust during dark times. That's the difficulty. The difficulty during dark times, other than trust, is the confidence in God's plan for our lives. Because when it's dark, you are not so sure, right? If you're going to stumble into a coffee table or step on a Lego, when it's dark, it's quite uneasy. But you know what? It's natural. It's natural to have doubts, and it's not abnormal to be scared, confused, or even frustrated when it's dark. Just read the book of Job. Job came to a very frustrating part of his life. He was in despair. All that darkness, when you feel the darkness and uneasiness and you're angry and you're frustrated and you're just lost, it only means that you are human. You're exactly the kind of human God sent His Son, His one and only Son, to die for. On your absolute worst day, Christ is for you, believer. His light is shining on and through the darkness in your life. I don't know what everybody's going through here, but every after the message, I offer prayer. Don't come to church and not get prayed for, especially if you're going through something. People, everyone here, we're all broken. Some people carry it better than the others. Or let me take that back. Some people fake it better than the others. But we're all broken. If you need prayer, come up. Come up so we can pray for you. You know what? Pod Bless is not going to start in 15 minutes anyway after the message. So we have a lot of time. Third point, let Christ live in you and shine through you. It's important to remember in all of this that when you give up your life to follow Christ, something amazing happens. The material things you once thought you couldn't live without seem to lose their shine. Only then can you really say you're a new creation. Amen? All of a sudden, the brand new BMW is not so attractive anymore. This is me raising my other thing. Right? The allure of the world should surpass us. Christmas should be no longer about material things for Christians. Amen? Sure, you know, Christmas is for children. We want to give the children their gifts. That's why I'm still waiting for my mom to give me a gift. You know, children, Christmas is for children, sure. But us adults, we should know that Christmas is more than material things. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. The new life has begun. Amen? With new motives. A new person has new motives, new desires, new goals. The Apostle Paul says this in in this way in his letter to the Galatians when he said, I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. New priorities, new purpose, new goals. It should be the case, amen? One thing that's really still holding most of us back is the fact that we haven't let go of the baggage of the world. The Bible says that we cannot serve two masters. Now, we are to work. I was just telling Jamin, I'm happy for his new job that he found. The more people that we can get in all these facets of the world, you know, whether you become a doctor, a Christian doctor, praise God. A Christian attorney, praise God. That reminds me, there was a couple that got married. They were about to get married, then they got into a car wreck, and they both died. And they were up there at the gates with St. Peter. This is a true story, Ruth. Why are you laughing? Yeah, it was. Okay, here, there you go. It's a true story. So the couple spoke to Peter. And Peter goes, how can I help you guys? And they're like, hey, you know, we were supposed to get married. But then God decided for us to die. Is there any way that we can still get married here in heaven? So Peter goes, oh, let me find out. So he left them there. Left them for like quite some time. Comes back after 6 weeks. And he goes, yes, I guess I can have you guys get married here. But then in that six weeks that they were waiting in heaven, they kind of annoyed each other. So they asked Peter for one more question. They said, you know what? If we get married, is there any way we can get divorced here in heaven? So Peter goes, what? It took me 6 weeks to find a pastor here? How long do you think it's going to take me to find an attorney? That's a joke. Where was I? It is completely the opposite in God's kingdom. God's kingdom tells us to let go so that we can live for him. The world tells us to accumulate as many things as you can and keep it to yourself. God says, let go. The life I no longer live, the life I no longer live for me. I live it for the Lord. Look at this one. John 12, 24 to 25. Jesus said this, I am telling you the truth. A grain of wheat remains no more than a single grain unless it is dropped into the ground and dies. If it does die, then it produces many grains. Those who love their own life will lose it. Those who hate their own life in this world will keep it for life eternal. God's kingdom is upside down. Here in the world, you achieve as many as you can and be the leader of the pack. In God's kingdom, be the servant. Now, as you grow in faith, you begin to overflow with hope, right? Christmas time is about hope, so we have to grow in our faith. If you don't have enough hope, you're not reading enough about God. You're not learning enough about Him, because hope is an overflow. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as hope comes pouring out of you in every situation and through any adversity, where do you think it goes? What is the purpose of being filled to overflowing with hope? What do you think it means? It means that you become the salt and light for the dying world. You become the hope for the people that surround you. Here's an illustration. Which do you prefer to spend? $1.10 or $76.27? Your money. Tell me, Sam, which would you prefer? $1.10, obviously, right? If it comes to an expenditure, you would want the cheaper one. Because that's, you know, $76. Did you know with the $1.10, with our situation in the past as a church, $1.10 is what the landlord was charging us per square feet or foot. So with the in our old building, for those of you who are new, we had our old building at Mill Street. At Mill Street, the whole square footage was totaling up to 9,600 square feet. It wasn't right, but you know, who can argue with the landlord? The monthly rent there was $10,032 a month. But that's $1.10 a square foot. God in His sovereignty and His goodness responded to the prayer of His people. We were just looking for a new place, another place to worship Him. We even tried to negotiate with the landlord there, but they really wanted us out. They would rather not have a Christian church there because we were too loud. We were too happy. I don't know what's wrong with you guys. Like Mike said, we were there every day. Did you know that since we moved here, since we did the move, $76.27 is the price per square feet or foot of this building? But because of that, our mortgage, our monthly cost went down to $8,500. Math works different, doesn't it? This is why I can never get math. I really had a hard time with math. Because if you look at that, you're going to say $1.10 all day. But if you look at it at more, with more context, $76.27 is cheaper. Did you know that your life obeying God is a much better way to live rather than spending it for the world? The world might be saying, you're missing out, man. There's a lot of Christmas parties going on. It's all you can drink, bar there. Just get drunk and just go to church on Sunday. You're saved by grace anyway. No. If you live for God, there's a lot of things that you're going to sacrifice of your old life. But in the long run, just like this building, after 15 years, our monthly will no longer be there. Hence, we will have salaries for the staff is my plan, if I'm still around. You know, but that's the key. That's God's way of moving. And we don't have any neighbors here that bugs us or doesn't like us. The neighbors that we have are our tenants, and they're lovely. Therese is here, you know. And they're nice. They know that we're a church. Don't hide the light is the fourth point. Don't hide the light. Because of the building, because of God doing this for us, it becomes a testimony in pyramid way. That every Sunday, there's plenty of cars parked there. What used to be an abandoned building for many years is now again occupied by the First International Christian Fellowship. With that smaller cross, because we took out the big cross, but we have a smaller cross, but it's still very much known now by the people that are driving around or passing by. And did you know that we have had about 65 people that have visited us, and some of them have joined us. Jamin is one of them that joined us ever since we opened. Rosada, Sela. You know, there's just been a great outpour. Because that's what a lighthouse is. We're not a lighthouse, right? A lighthouse is a tower with a bright light at the top, located at an important or dangerous place regarding navigation that travel over water. The two main purposes of a lighthouse are to serve as a navigational aid and to warn boats of dangerous areas. Hope is a lot like the light in a lighthouse. Our church serves as a lighthouse. Hope helps to guide us through uncharted, unknown, and dangerous territory. Hope not only helps us, but we share it with others. Amen? Through the overflow in our lives. So again, you share hope. Hope is in Christ. So you're actually sharing Christ. So as you share Christ, you're sharing hope. Amen? Remember in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. In 2020, in December 2020, some of us thought we're not gonna make it to Christmas, right? We were so uncertain. But not us Christians. We were thinking about Christmas Eve service. Hey, what's going to happen at Christmas Eve service? Are we going to open up? Are we going to have a meal? You know, there's always the hope. For Christians, it's never dark. Amen? We experience darkness, but our hope tells us there's a light at the end of this. Matthew 5, 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Our church is a lighthouse. We just followed God. We just obeyed Him. We tried to negotiate with the landlord there. We even thought about just renting a space at the basketball gym. Brother Larry did not like that idea. So did John. But John and I were like, hey, you know, wherever God brings us, we'll rent the place for hourly. Tear up and tear down. Jamie was planning already the coordination. What are we going to do? Who's going to set up the chairs? Do you think it's going to work? But God had a different idea. Same with you. God did not make a mistake in choosing you to become His. He rescued you from your sinful life so that you will be the salt and light to the people that He will bring along your way. It is at work. It is at school. It is at that long line in Safeway. Make sure, be nice. It is dealing with that tindero or tindera at Manila, Hong Kong, who's being rude. You know, they seen your video in YouTube that you're a pastor, so just smile and say, okay, my math is wrong. You are a lighthouse to a broken and lost world. Amen? So don't hide your light. Because the moment that you do, they will get hurt. Not you, because you're already saved. The moment that you don't want to share the gospel, they continue and stay lost. Let the hope of Christ light you up so bright that others can't even help themselves and ask you, what's going on with you? Why are you so happy, Ruth? Everybody's stressed out with this overtime that they gave us. Let the light that shines on you help light the way for others. Now, remember John, the guy that got lost at sea? He became sushi. No, I'm kidding. 4 hours later, his friend Anthony finally woke up. I don't know what made him wake up, but I know people who have a hard time waking up. Anthony woke up and realized that John was gone. He called the Coast Guard. Coast Guard began its search procedures, even though the Coast Guard commander admitted that he didn't have much hope of finding John in so much open water. On the boat, Anthony found the broken handle and knew that John must have been doing what what John must have been doing when he went overboard, which also meant he knew the ocean depth of where he would have been doing it. John made it alive to morning and tried to keep his hope alive. But the hours kept passing, and there was no sign of help. Finally, he spotted a fishing buoy and was able to reach it and climb onto it. Another surge of hope for him. In less than an hour, a Coast Guard helicopter flew nearby and spotted John waving and splashing. It's like Tom Hanks in that movie, Castaway. They pulled him up to safety. "We've been looking for you for 9 hours today," the Coast Guard rescue divers told John. John replied, "Well, I've been looking for you for 12. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That is the greatest of all time Christmas present for all of us. Amen? "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Amen? This leads us to my next and final point. I was going to do the bussin' gift for the Gen X or Gen Z, bussin'. But then, good thing I didn't. John said goat is better. The greatest of all time gift will be rooted in hope. Look at this one. "Now that we have been put right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has brought us by faith into this experience of God's grace in which we now live. And so we boast of the hope we have of sharing God's glory." You should be shouting it. During this Christmas time, you should be shouting, "Merry Christmas." Not because you got the gift that you wanted, the material gift that you wanted, but because you've received the gift for eternity. Amen? There is no greater gift, no greater gift that we can give to those around us other than the eternal hope of Christ. And I know Hadid used the joke where he says, "I am so broke this year, the only thing I can give you is Jesus." So go ahead, do that. You don't have to do the exchange gifts, right, with your coworkers. Just share Jesus. That's the greatest gift. When we believe strongly that God will come through on his promises to us and rescue us from our troubles, then we are stirred to let our hope spill over in those around us. Choose hope this Christmas. Choose hope and be contagious of that hope. Amen? Don't be bashful of Christ. Don't be shy anymore. Come on. I don't know how long you've been a Christian for. I don't know how many verses you need to memorize or hear. The overflow of hope comes from you because you have Christ in you. C.S. Lewis said, "Hope is one of the theological virtues. This means that a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. They were not afraid to lose their life here and now. They were not holding on to their riches. All the more they were giving it. The more they knew who God is, the more they let go of their finances. And then their finances came back. You would hear of those Christian business people, you know, Hobby Lobby, that could care less about his millions of billions of dollars. Because they know who God is. It is easy to be overwhelmed by the state of our world. But Christian, don't lose heart. Jesus has overcome the world. Amen? Stop believing the lies. You know, the enemy, he is the father of lies. Stop believing the lies that things will never change for you. They will. And if they don't, we will go to heaven. And in heaven, there's no more bills. You know what? You know what? One way you won't have any more bills? Stop charging it on your credit card. Choose to find hope in the promises of God. Amen? Choose to believe that Jesus' birth changes everything for you. It changes everything for you. Each day we can be defeated by darkness, or each day we can find victory in the light of Christ. Now it was such a last minute, I wanted to have this performed after this segment here, but I'm going to try not to sing it, but you guys can sing. I'm going to read the lyrics, right? And I think it's so crucial as we start Christmas. This is from the song titled Cornerstone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the overwhelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Can you do this week? Can you, as you go to work, as you go to school, as you go about your day-to-day this week, can you be the one that's choosing hope? Can you choose hope within you and share it with others? Think about the people in your life who you spend a lot of time with. Most of you are always at work, right? So share it with them. Share it with your family, your friends, or your local barista, or your boba barista for some of you. And consider ways you can share the hope you have with them. Amen? If you're running low on hope, if you're feeling like your light isn't shining as bright as it used to, I'm here, like I said. I want to pray for you. So please come up. As the music team make their way up here to close us in, to sing their closing hymn, if I can have, I know Vince is not here, so Will, if you could be up there. If you don't, again, like I said, don't come to church and not get prayed for. If you need prayer, if you need hope, please come up so we can pray for you. And if you've been visiting us for quite some time and you think God is calling you to be a part of this church, please come up so we can recognize you. Or if you need to accept, if you still haven't received Jesus as your Lord, you are still lost. If you want to receive him as your Lord and Savior, please come up so we can lead you into that prayer. Let me close us in prayer. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for your message. We thank you for this Christmas, this Advent season, Lord God, that we are observing. We thank you that it happens at the end of the year as we kind of summarize our year. We thank you for the guarantee of our lives here that if that once it ends here, Father God, we will be with you. But we also are grateful for all your promises to us because you are good and you keep all your promises. You said that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You told us that your plans for us is to prosper us and not to harm us. You said, Lord God, that if we walk with you, the fruits of the Spirit will manifest in our lives. Father, help us. Help us to live for you. Help us to be the salt and light in this dark and tasteless world, Lord God. Help us, Father, to glorify you. Help us, Lord God, to obey you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the Lord's people said, amen. Amen. That's all right.